Pray with me, please. Holy God, as I stand before these, your people, I covet you, cleanse me of all of the thoughts that I have had up until this moment. That you wash me anew, that what comes from my mouth are what words you want to be spoken. That God, that there is less of me and there is greater of you in what you have inspired to be said this day. So God, help me. Help these, your people. Help us all that we might hear and come to know what you desire to be shared and to be spoken of this day. I ask it in the magnificent name and the only name I know. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, our sermon comes to us from Hosea. And the title of our message is Storytelling. I just want to read you a description of what storytelling can be. Storytelling describes a social and cultural activity of sharing stories, sometimes with improvisation, sometimes with theatrics, or a little embellishment. Every culture has its own stories or narratives, which are shared as a means of entertainment, education, cultural preservation, or instilling moral values. It is these last three that I want you to be aware of as we go about the words this day. And that sense of education, that sense of cultural preservation, and that sense of instilling moral values. I have to tell you that growing up as a child, I loved to hear the stories. I loved to sit at my grandmother or grandfather's side or at their feet or in the room in which they were in to hear their stories. Their stories were not so much about theatrics or so much about this joyous experience. They were sharing, it was not about entertainment. They were sharing something to educate us, to culturally remind us, and to instill values in us that would make us a better person than what we could have imagined. I remember the story that my grandmother and grandfather, particularly, we would talk about was how my great-grandfather was a sharecropper in Cleveland, Mississippi. And how being in Cleveland, Mississippi, back in the day, in the 40s and 50s, it was not safe or good for a person of color, particularly if you were black. And so here they were on this sharecropping farm. And yet, my grandfather had a vision that this was not the life that he was to lead. And so somewhere in his journey, somewhere, I didn't get this exact point, but somewhere in the details, he realized that he needed to leave Cleveland, Mississippi. He couldn't leave Cleveland, Mississippi by day. He had to leave Cleveland, Mississippi by night. And so he would leave in the dark of night and meander his way out of Cleveland, and he would eventually end up in Benton Harbor, Michigan. He would have to leave Cleveland, Mississippi because, and without his family, because he could not bring his wife or children at that point. My grandmother would have four children at this point. He could not leave with them. He had to leave by himself. And he came up north to find better work, to make a better living. He had a very limited education. He didn't really attend school, could barely write. And yet he came up here He came up here because he wanted his family to have a better life than what he was living with in Cleveland, Mississippi, where it was not safe for him to walk the streets at night, where it was not safe for him to go into just any restroom if he needed to go into the restroom. He wasn't safe for him to just drink from any fountain. It wasn't safe for him to be in Cleveland, Mississippi, and he realized that for his family, it would not be safe for them either. That's one of the stories that I grew up with and that I learned from about my family. And there are many more. And I'm sure there are stories that you could share about your experiences and about your family. But that's not really the story I want you to stick with this morning. You see, many of you know that I was in Pastor Catherine and myself and Viola and Jim and Nicholas, we were in Cali, Colombia just a few weeks ago at the BPFNA, well, that's really the Global Baptist Peace Conference. And some of you may have seen a few pictures on Facebook. I don't know how that happened, but you might have seen a few pictures of some shenanigans going on down there. But the theme of the conference was living in a world without violence. A path toward living in a world without violence. And so one of the things that was important for us was to have storytelling. And so every morning from Tuesday till Friday, we would have storytellers who would stand up and they would tell of their story. They would tell of their experiences. And one of the speakers was Jan Na Lataw. She's from Myanmar, and she tells a story of her childhood, even up until this present day, of living in a community, in a world, in a nation where social injustice and unfairness to ministry groups, to minority groups, is still prevalent. It's still going on. There is still a dissonance between treating everyone fairly in the country of Myanmar. It's still about the power elite who are dictating what goes on. And so she shared this story with us in such a passionate way that we just sat there in unbelief that such a thing would still be going on in this 21st century. We would hear also the story from Ruzadan Gutierrez. She tells a story of being a voice for women and for the LGBTQ community in Georgia, not Georgia of our state, but Georgia of the USSR. And the difficulty it is in being a voice where she is not wanted or not needed, even though she is now a full bishop in the Baptist Church in Georgia. We would hear the story of Manuel El Tayar. She is a Lebanese woman who is seeking to build peace in Lebanon between the Jews and between the Lebanese, between those who are Samaritans and those who were not. And she shared with us the struggle of trying to build this peace. She particularly shared this story that when she first got into this work, there was a violent action going on. The soldiers and the folks were against the protesters, and she was hearing about this, and she decided that she would go down there by herself. And if you ever could see a picture of her, she's a track star, so she's not a big person. And she's about this high, but she's a track runner, so she's thin. And yet she goes down to this protest, and she stands up for what she believes is just and true. And then she says that the thing that got her the most was when she gone down to the protest and she came back, how her mother was so upset with her. How could you go down there? How could you put yourself in that way? How could you do that? And she said, Mom, isn't that what you teach me? Don't you teach me that I'm to stand up for what is right, what is just, what is true? Is that not what you tell me to do? And her mom says, but your life was in danger. Many things could happen to you. You now are going to be on record. They know who you are. And she said, Mom, I'm all right. It's okay. I have faith that whatever happens will happen. And she continues in doing this work. On Tuesday of the conference, we would hear the story. We would hear the story of the peacekeeping accords that happened in Colombia. For many of us may not even be aware of the violence and the war that was going on in Colombia among its leadership, and the thousands of people who would disappear, who would be killed in this war going on within its own walls, within its own borders. Many of us would not know. But sitting before us that morning on Tuesday was this beautiful young spirit of a woman who sat down and talked about how difficult it has been to live even beyond the fact that the peace courts have been settled. Because in the midst of this warring going on within their nation, they were holding on to their faith. But even in the midst of the warring going on in their nation, people were disappearing. Friends and relatives were no longer could be found. And then eventually, her very own husband would disappear. She would never see him again. She would never stand before him again. And she tells the story, because we need to know the story. The story, telling the story, continues to keep the action that was taken to bring peace alive. It continues to remind them of where they've come from and what used to be but is no more. I have to tell you that when she shared her story, there was not a dry eye among almost 400 people. Because this was not a made-up story. It was not for entertainment. It was for us to be educated. It was for us to be culturally changed. It was for us to see what peace sometimes calls for. And the story must not be held back. It must be shared. Hosea. To me, God is telling a story. God is telling a story of, listen, I cared for you when you were born. From the time you were born until this very hour, I have been with you. I fed you in your state of early babyhood when you were yet crawling on the floor. I was there with you when you took your first steps and when you walked to where you had to go. I was there as you grew and as you moved from being in a captive state in Israel and in Egypt. I was there with you, offering protection and caring for you. Oh, God is telling the people that, listen, here is the story. Do you remember that I was there when you were born? Do you remember that I was there when all of these transgressions happened against you? Do you remember that I was there offering protection and caring for you and offering what you need? Do you remember? God is telling the story of his people. He is telling the story of the Israelite transition. He is telling them and he is reminding them all of the things that he's done, even though they've turned their backs at times, even though they've walked away, even though they've chosen other gods before him. He has still loved them. He has still cared for them, but he is telling them the story. Do you remember? He's not doing it for entertainment. He's doing it to remind them of their culture.
He's doing it to re-educate them again about who God is and who God has been in their life. He's doing it so they might reclaim the true and living God in their presence. For all of the stories that were shared with us throughout that week, the one thing that was very clear, the one thing that was very concise, was the reason those stories, tellers, were able to overcome the trials and transitions that had happened to them. The reason they were able to stand up in the midst of violence. The reason they were able to stand up in the midst of abuse. The reason they were able to stand up in the midst that no one else wanted to be with them was because God was with them, and they knew God was with them. The important part of their story was that even though it was a stress and a struggle to do what they did, even though others didn't believe that they could make a difference, they stood up because they knew that God was there, that God was present, that God would see them through, that God would protect them from the hurt, harm, and danger that would become them. And if it did not happen, if they did die because of their cause, it was okay. They told their story as God is telling the people of God in this text the story and reminding them of who God has been and what God has done in their life. The story was not meant to tell them how happy things have been. It was not meant to present them in a way that says to them that there have not been some times when you've gone right when I've asked you to go left. There have been some times when I've been there for you and you didn't even know that I was there. There were times when I fed you and you didn't even know where the food came from. There were times when I clothed you and you had no idea where the cloth material would have been born from. There were times when I gave you passage and you didn't even know which direction to go. Indeed, God is reminding them in this story of who God is. And more importantly, God is reminding them that I still love you. I don't care what you have done in your past. I don't care what has happened to you. I still love you. In essence, there's nothing you can do, Donna, that I won't love you anyway. There's no place you can go that I will not be there for you. I will care for you in the midst of the highest mountaintop and down in the deep, dark valley. Miss Peggy, God is telling the children of Hosea, don't forget the story. Don't forget the story. I want you to know the story because the story reminds you and tells you that I have been with you and will be with you even till the ends of the earth. If God were telling our story right now, how would God describe our experience? How would God describe you and me if God were telling the story now? Have mercy, I'm glad he's not. I'm glad God is not telling my story right now because I have not always gotten it right. There have been a few times when I've made a mistake along the way. There have been some people I want to say I'm sorry to, and I haven't found them yet. There have been some times, Kira, when I've said some words out of my mouth, woo, that shouldn't have come out. But I know that God forgives, and God is yet working in my story, as God is yet working in your story. And I'm glad right now that God has not stopped telling the story about you and about me. We still have some work to do. We still have some challenges ahead. There are some dark nights, woo, and some troubled mornings yet to come. But I want you to know that God tells us that God will be there with us. Even, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what has happened. God will be there with you, along with Robert too. Amen? God has not stopped telling our story. God has not stopped wanting to be engaged and involved in our life. God has not stopped telling the story of the presenters who came to us from around the world to tell us their story. Their stories and God's story is one that should uplift and build, not tear down and destroy. God's story is one that wants you to do God's will and God's way each and every day of your life. And when you don't get it right, God will say, Phoebe, I love you just the way you are. You might not get it all right, but I'm loving you because you are my daughter. What is God going to say about your story? Whew. I am so glad. I am so glad that right now my story is still working. That right now I still can dictate a little bit in here, because God gives me that will to do what is right, what is just, and what is true. Hosea and the Israelite story is still living. Believe it or not, it's still ongoing. I know you might go, well, that was Hosea. Yeah, but the Israelite folks are still here. The story is still ongoing. God's not finished yet. God is not finished. Not only is God not finished with the Israelites, God is not finished with any of us just yet. So to you and to me, I want to remind you that God loves you, and that God wants to tell a story about you too. You and I will be creators of the story. It will be our life that God will see. It will be our actions that God will come to know. And I trust today that your story will have some ups and downs, because they all do. Yeah, we ain't got it perfect, folks. But our story will be one that says that we also know that God loves us. And even in the times that we have needed to be forgiven, God still loves us anyway. Storytelling. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of every culture and every DNA. It's also a part of God's way of speaking to you and to me. Amen.